All right, good morning and thank you for joining us.
早晨好，欢迎大家来上课。
Let's begin with prayer.
让我们以祷告来开始。
Dear God, I thank you for this day.
亲爱的主，我们为了今天感谢你。
I ask that as we study your word, that you will speak to our hearts.
当我们学习你话语的时候，求你对我们的心说话。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen.
Amen.
Let me, Elder Yang asked me to announce the next topic that we will be doing.
杨长老让我宣告一下，就是下一个系列的题目。
I plan to start in 2 weeks, and we'll spend several months talking about growing in the image of Christ.
那再有过两周，我们这个课程就结束了。那我下边呢，决定花几个月的时间来讲，就是长成基督的形象。
We'll be looking at how Christ shapes us to look like himself.
我们就来看主耶稣如何把我们塑造成他的样式。
We will talk about what he does in us.
然后我们会讲到他在我们里面所做的。
And then we will talk about our part in that, our disciplines.
然后我们也会来看说，那我们在这个其中我们的责任，我们的应该所做的，我们的自律。
I plan to start that in 2 weeks.
那我的计划就是两周以后开始。
And Elder Yang suggested that I go ahead and announce that I would like for you, if someone is going to join us, I would like for them to be able to be with us from the beginning of that.
那杨长老就想我早点宣告这个消息。我也是，如果你们要邀请谁来上课的话呢，那就请你就是告诉他们，最好他们从一开始就来上课，就来加入。
So that you can understand how each part fits together.
这样的话你就知道每一课所讲的内容怎么是嵌合在一起的。
Let me start today by reading 2 scriptures to you.
然后今天我刚开始读两节经文。
We're going to be looking at Revelation 12 through 14.
我们今天要看启示录第十二章到第十四章。
We're going to be looking at Christ overcoming the power of Satan.
我们来看就是基督战胜了这个魔鬼的这个权势。
And my focus today is going to be Christ and politics.
好，今天我的题目就是基督和政治。
Now, let me tell you, I will not tell you today, this is how Jesus would vote.
我今天不是要讲说耶稣会怎么投票。
There are plenty of other people who can tell you.
那有很多人可以告诉你这个，所以我不会讲这个。
I'm not going to tell you what Jesus would say about masks or about vaccines or about any other of those issues.
我也不会说耶稣对这个戴口罩，对于打疫苗，还有别的这个题目，他会怎么说。
There are many people who can tell you, so you don't need my opinion.
那有很多人是在讲这件事啊，他们可以告诉你，你们也不需要我的建议。
I want to look at something more foundation.
我要看的是更这个根基性的东西。
Maybe you will feel it is not practical.
也许你觉得这个没有，好像不实际。
Because when we think of practical, we think, I want someone to say, this is the answer for today.
当我们讲到这个实际的时候，我们就想有个人告诉我说，那今天这个就是答案。
I am very deliberately not going to do that.
我就是非常有意的不要这样去做。
I think there is an answer to how Jesus would vote and what he would say about different policies.
然后我觉得说对于 如果说主耶稣他需要投票，或者是不同的这个出台的政策，他会怎么想，怎么说，是有答案。
But the truth is, even if we come to an answer for that, by next year, I hope, there will be different questions.
然后呢，即使我们现在是有答案了，那我想到了，到了下一年，我希望那会有大家讨论的问题又是不一样的。
And so what I would rather do than say this is Jesus' view of this issue is to give you a framework for how Revelation treats the relationship between Christ and politics.
那我讲这个就是讲到这些东西就是想要你知道说那在启示录里面是如何看待耶稣和政治的关系的。
And then leave it to you to apply that to a specific situation.
然后就让你自己回去来把这个原则应用在你具体的环境当中。
Now some people feel that is too dangerous.
那有的人觉得这样做太危险了。
Because maybe you will come up with the wrong answer.
因为那你要是那个找错答案，给出错误答案怎么办？
I am willing to take that risk.
那我宁愿这样的去冒险。
Because I think if you understand the relationship between Christ and our political world, you will have the framework to find practical application.
那我觉得如果你可以知道这个耶稣和这个政治的这个就是好像这个世界中间的关系的话，那觉得对我们来应用在实际生活中是有帮助的。
So let me read a couple scriptures. First from the book of Psalms.
然后我们先来看诗篇。
Psalm 20.
诗篇二十节，第二十篇四章。
7 to 8.
第七到第九节。
Some trust in chariots and some in horses.
有人靠车，有人靠马。
But we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
但我们要倚靠耶和华我们神的名。
They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright.
他们都屈身扑倒，我们却起来立得正直。
David says, some people put their confidence in their armies.
大卫王说，有人他们的信心是建立在他们的军队之上。
They put their trust in power.
他们的这个信靠的是他们的这个权力，他们的那个能力。
But we trust in the name of God.
但是呢，我们却是，他这里提到就是信靠耶和华我们神的名。
They, those armies, those powers will someday fall, but we rise and stand strong.
那些军队，他们有一天会跌倒，会扑倒，但是我们却可以站起来立得正直。
Some people read these verses and say, aha, that tells us Christians should have nothing to do with the power of this world.
然后有人就读了这些说，这就说了，这基督徒跟这个世界上的权势应该没有任何关系，什么都别管。
And if you stop at verse 8, you could interpret it that way.
如果你只是停在第八节的话，你可以这样子，就这样子来解读。
But when you read, you must finish the chapter.
但是当你读的时候，你要把整篇都读下来。
And look at the next verse.
请你看下一个经节。
Oh Lord!Save the king.
求耶和华施行拯救，求你拯救王。
May he answer us when we call.
我们呼求的时候，愿王应允我们。
David is not saying, all right, if you trust God, you stay away from anything of this world's politics.
然后大卫王不是说，哦，如果你相信神的话，信靠神的话，那你跟这个世界上的政治啊什么都完全就别管它，不要去涉入。
Right after saying we trust in God, he prays, God, take care of the king.
当他 刚刚祷告说宣称说我们相信神的时候，神的时候他马上就说，神啊，求你拯救王。
One more verse let me read to you from Revelation 14.
我们再来看第启示录第十四章。
And this is the theme that I want to look at this morning.
这个就是我们今天想看的主题。
Revelation 14, verse 12.
14章12节。
Here is a call for the endurance of the saints.
他说，圣徒的忍耐就在此。
Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus.
他们是守神诫命和耶稣真道的。
It seems to me there are two temptations for Christians.
在我看来，基督徒面临两种试探。
And at different times, we fall prey to the different temptations.
在不同的时期呢，或者不同的时间内，我们就落入两不同的这种试探当中。
One temptation is to try to achieve the goals of the gospel through political means.
一种呢是想要成就这个福音的这个目的呢，就是但是是用政治的方法来实现。
In this view, instead of riding into Jerusalem on a donkey,Jesus should have charged into the city on a war horse.
然后呢，他们这种感觉就是说，主耶稣进到耶路撒冷，不是说应该骑着驴驹子进去，而是应该骑着战马进去。
This is the approach of Emperor Constantine in the 4th century.
这就是公元第四世纪康斯坦丁大帝他所采用的方式。
We will accomplish the goals of the gospel through political power.
我们要通过这个政治上的这个势力，这个能力呢，来成就福音的目的，才成就福音。
We will build a strong church through financial strength.
我们通过这个经济上的这种势力呢，这种强盛呢，来建一个坚固强壮的教会。
We will change our world through social and political activity.
我们通过改变世界上的社会上跟政治上的这种环境呢，来改变社会，通过基督徒的信这些价值什么的。
That's one temptation.
那是一种诱惑，一种试探。
To use the tools of the world.To accomplish the goals of God's kingdom.
就是要通过利用世界上的这些工具，这些手段来成就神的这个神国的事。
I can understand the appeal of that.
我能够理解这种方式的吸引力。
I understand it personally because at one point that was very much my way of thinking.
我自己从个人方面我也能理解，因为有一段时间我就是这么想的。
I felt like preaching and teaching the Bible was far too slow a way to accomplish God's purpose.
我觉得这个不管是教导神的话还是传讲神的话，这要成就神的这个目的跟宗旨旨意的话，这个太慢了。
And I wanted to go and do something immediately.
我想去马上出去做点事儿。
I understand the appeal of that because very often it appears to be successful for a while.
因为呢，我能够了为什么这个东西，我了解这个东西的吸引力，是因为从表面上来看，哎，有一阵这个好像是挺成功的。
Constantine was very successful.
因为康斯坦丁大帝是很成功的。
Everyone who wanted to be a friend of the emperor suddenly became a Christian.
因为如果你想那个就是每个想跟皇帝做朋友的人，突然之间都成了基督徒了。
That approach is very appealing.
那个这样子的去成就好像神国的这个方式呢，好像是很吸引人的。
It's popular.
也很受欢迎。
Whatever political party we join the church to is happy to welcome us.
我们不管是就是参加什么党派呀、啊、然后呢你是他们那个政治党派他们都会很欢迎教会。
They invite us to conventions.
他们就是邀请我们参加他们的大会。
We get our picture taken with important people.
然后我们就跟那些重要显赫的人物合影。
And we think, wow, we are successful.
然后我们就觉得、哦、看我们这个多成功。
But we forget that Jesus never had his picture taken with Caesar.
但是我们忘了主耶稣从来没有跟凯撒合影。
In fact, the only times he was ever with any political leaders, they were trying to kill him.
然后他其实他唯一就是跟那个政治领袖人物在一起的时候，这些人其实是想杀了他。
And so I wonder then, are we following his example when we try to accomplish his goals through our earthly approach?
所以我有时候就在想，我们如果想要通过这个世界上的这种方式来成就来做事的话，那我们是不是就是成就了他的旨意呢？
And so then
是不是跟随他的榜样？
So then someone says, okay, we should take a different approach.
那接着就有人说了，那我们应该有另外一种不同的方式来做。
And the second approach is to withdraw.
第二种的这种方式呢，就是我们就撤离，我们就退回来。
To say, we will let the world have their politics.
我们就让这个世界有他们自己的这个政治吧。
We will withdraw into our little church community.
我们就撤回来，我们就是活在我们自己这个教会的小社群里边。
We will leave government, economics, culture, science to them.
我们就把这个政府啊，科学、教育，还有什么，反正每一样东西都留给他们吧。
And there have been times when that is the big temptation for the church.
那有一段时间呢，这个也是教会所面临的一个很大的试探。
I know Christians who say a Christian should not even vote. We should just pray.
然后我也确实是听到基督徒说，一个基督徒不应该去投票，我们所做的就是去祷告。
They quote Psalm 20 verse 7.
他们就引用的经节就是诗篇二十章第七节。
But then they ignore verse 9.
但是他们却忽略了第九节。
So there are the two extreme temptations, it seems to me.
所以对我看来，这是有两种，就是这两个极端的这种试探。
To try to achieve God's goals through political and earthly means.
第一个呢，是想要成就神的这个目标呢，但是是要通过这个世界上和这个政治上的方式。
And secondly, the temptation to simply withdraw and have nothing to do in our society.
然后第二种的试探就是说，我们就是退回来，跟这个世上呢没有任何的关系，跟这个社会。
And I think I should say something here that's not in my notes, but I think I need to add.
我现在说一点没有在我的笔记上，但是我觉得应该加上去的一些。
And this applies primarily to those of you who live in America.
这主要是应用在我们这些住在美国的人。
A different society will have different questions.
那个不同的那个社会呢，有不同的问题。
But let me just say for the first temptation, it can be true for people on either the right or the left of politics.
就是说，对于第一种试探，那 这种呢是不管你是左派还是右派，这都有可能是真的。
Let me explain what I mean.
我来解释一下我是什么意思。
For many of us, probably at PBCCC, our temptation would be to try to accomplish the goals of the right through politics.
我觉得对我们可能教会的大多数成员来讲，我们是想要去通过you mean through the political method to accomplish the goal of right, right?
Of conservative,
yeah,
yes.
就是我们想要通过政治上这种方式来达到这个保守派的这个目标。
And so there are churches that will hand out a sheet that say, here is the biblical view of every issue.
然后呢就是在有的教会就会发一张这个清单，就是说那圣经上是来如何看待这些社会议题的。
Let's gain enough political power to accomplish this.
那我们希望在这个政治上呢有足够的这个强大的势力，那我们来成就这些目标。
But it's not just a temptation on a conservative side.
这不单单说这个就是这个保守派的这所面临的试探一个诱惑。
I have some friends who are pastors in mainline churches, liberal churches.
我也知道认识一些有知道这个牧师，他们是属于这个比较自由派，就自由派的教会。
And they are trying to accomplish their religious goals through politics the same way.
他们在这个自由派的这个想法里边呢，他们也是想要通过，也是通过这个政治来达到他们的目标，也是用同样的方式就是了。
They also have a list of how would Jesus vote.
他们也有一个清单，就是主耶稣会怎么投。
One year just for fun.
有一年呢，大概就是出于这个好奇，就好玩。
I visited a church that handed me a sheet on how Jesus would vote.
然后我就去参观一个，就到一个教会，那教会呢就给了一个清单，就是说主耶稣会怎么投。
He would vote against abortion.
他会反对堕胎。
He would vote for lower taxes.
他会会降税。会。
He would vote.For less immigration.
他的会投票说少移民，就是。
Many things.
有很多事情。
Then I visited my friend's church on the left.
然后呢我又看了一个到一个朋友，他的教会呢是属于自由派，是左派的。
And they gave me a sheet.
他们也给了我一个清单。
Jesus would vote for higher taxes and more immigration.
那耶稣会投票会赞成是加税，然后呢会更加多的移民。
It helped me to understand what I'm saying today is not one view or the other. It is how we as Christians should see all of the political world.
就是说不是说是看一派这一派或那一派的想法，而是说作为那主耶稣是怎么来看整个的这个政治世界呢？这一切呢？
On one side, some people say, let's accomplish God's goals through politics.
在就是有一面的人会说，让我们通过这个政治的这个方式来成就神的目标。
On the other side are those who say, let's have nothing to do with it.
在另外一边就说，我们跟政治就完全的，我们就完全的无关，就不涉入。
Revelation doesn't do either of these.
但是呢，启示录里边，这两种方式都没用。
What Revelation does is to say the church must challenge the political world.
启示录所讲的就是教会必须要挑战这个政治的世界。
The church must stand up to government when government opposes God's purposes.
当政府开始就是与神的这个目的跟神的宗旨作对的时候，那教会必须要站立起来。
Now, up to that point, everyone says amen.
直到这个时候呢，每个人大家都说 Amen。
On one side, the moral majority says Amen.
在这个时候呢，这个道德上就是比较高尚，就是比较保守的，就会说 Amen。
And on the other side, Ron Sider and Shane Claiborne say Amen.
然后在另外一边呢，也说 Amen。
But here is where we quit saying Amen.
但是在这个时候，我们大家就不再说 Amen 了。
In Revelation, the church challenges the political national world.
因为在启示录里边，这个教会就挑战了，就是这个政治的，还有这个民族性或者是国家性的这个世界。
But it does it through suffering, not through power.
但是他的挑战不是通过这个政治上的势力，而是通过受苦。
It challenges the world and it wins through its own martyrdom and death.
然后呢，他挑战了这个世界，并且得胜了。他是通过自己所，通过那个殉道和死。
If I go back to Constantine, Constantine sought to win through politics, finances, and social power.
然后呢，我们回到刚才讲的这个康斯坦丁，他是想通过赢得这个世界，通过政治上、经济上和社会上的这个能力。
But Christ sought to win through death, suffering, and weakness.
但是呢，基督的他的这个得胜的这种方式呢，却是通过死、通过受苦，还通过软弱。
It seems to me as Christians in the 21st century,
对我来讲，作为21世纪的基督徒，
we have to decide, do we follow the pattern of Constantine or the pattern of Christ?
我们要决定是我们要跟随这个康斯坦丁的这种模式呢，还是跟随基督的样式。
We tend to overestimate the power of Rome.
我们的这个有一种倾向，就是会过高估计了这个罗马的权势。
And underestimate the power of grace.
低估了这个恩典的权，这个能力。
We say, if this person wins office, we can have revival.
我们会说，如果这个人被选上了，那我们就会有复兴。
And if this person wins office, we can never have revival.
如果这个人选上了，那我们就永远不会有复兴。
When we say that, we are taking the side of Constantine.
当我们这样说的时候，其实我们就是采取了这个康斯坦丁的模式。
We are making Rome powerful and Jesus weak.
我们就让这个罗马更有力，而耶稣的这个模式，耶稣是软弱的。
Revelation does something much different.
但是启示录所讲的却完全不同。
So let's look at it in chapter 12.
让我们来看第十二章。
Chapter 12 starts with this strange picture.
那个第十二章的开始就是一个很奇怪的一个图像。
Remember that Revelation teaches by drawing pictures.
记得我们当时讲这个启示录它就是它的教导是通过好像这个动画片似的，就是那个漫画似的。
A great sign appeared in heaven.
然后他说天上显出大异象来。
A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars.
有一个妇人身披日头，脚踏月亮，头戴十二星的冠冕。
She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth.
她怀了孕，在生产的艰难中疼痛呼叫。
Another sign appeared in heaven, a great red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns.
头上又显出异象来，有一条大红龙，七头十角，七头上戴着七个冠冕。
On his head, 7 crowns.
头上是七头戴的七个冠冕。
His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth.
他的尾巴拖拉着天上星辰的三分之一摔在地上。
The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she bore her child, he might devour it.
龙就站在那将要生产的妇人面前，等她生产之后要吞吃她的孩子。
She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne.
妇人生了一个男孩子，就是将来要用铁杖辖管万国的，他的孩子被提到神宝座那里去了。
And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nurtured for 1260 days.
妇人就逃到旷野，在那里有神给她预备的地方，使她被养活1260天。
Here is the big picture that he gives.
所以这个是启示录所描绘的一个图像。
There is a baby.
这个有一个男婴。
The language of this baby points back to Psalm chapter 2.
然后呢，这个男孩子的这个语言，他所描述的就指回诗篇第二篇。
The rod of iron, the baby is the Messiah.
这个男孩子就是弥赛亚，他是有这个用铁杖。
The dragon is all through Revelation is Satan and the power of evil.
然后呢，整个启示录里边讲到龙的时候，它就是指撒旦和这个邪恶的势力。
And then there is the mother.
然后在这里讲到这个妇人，这个母亲。
The language in verse one,
在第一节里边这个语言所描述的。
Points back, it seems to me, to Genesis chapter 37.
好像他指挥对我来讲就是创世纪第三十七章。
Joseph's dream of Israel.
这以色列不是约瑟对于以色列的这个异梦。
And so, look at the picture here.
所以你看这个图像。
The mother, the people of Israel, who throughout history,are tracing the human ancestry of Jesus.
这个母亲，这个妇人就是她其实就是讲到就是弥赛亚耶稣来的这个人类历史。
She's waiting to give birth.
她在等着要生出一个男孩子来。
And suddenly a great red dragon appears.
但是突然之间一个大红龙就出现了。
A tail so strong that it sweeps away a third of the stars.
它的尾巴很强壮，甚至把天上星辰的三分之一都摔到了地上。
And he's waiting for the baby to be born so that he can devour.
这个龙呢，在等着这个孩子出生，然后就要吞吃这个孩子。
Now, if you look at this picture,
如果你去看这个，想象你看的这个图片的话。
You know the baby has no chance.
那你知道说这个孩子根本没有机会来胜过这个龙。
The dragon will win.
这龙肯定是会胜的。
And it seems to me that Revelation shows us that from an earthly perspective,Christ will always be the weak one.
然后呢，启示录好像对我来看，从地上的世界上的眼光来看，那个基督永远是那个，一直就是那个软弱的那一位。
From an earthly perspective, the baby cannot survive.
从这个世界的角度来看，这个孩子根本活不下来。
I love to read church history.
我喜欢读教会历史。
And one reason I love to read it is this.
我之所以喜欢教会历史的一个原因就是
Over and over when the church is at its weakest is the point at which God brings victory.
然后呢，一而再再而三的，当教会在他最软弱的时刻，却是神真的是带来这个胜利得胜的时刻。
If we go back through history,
如果我们回溯历史，
the Lutheran revival,
比如说那个 You mean Martin Luther's revival,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, Martin,
就是马就是马丁路德那个时期的这个应该是16世纪末期的这个复兴。
Came at a time when the church was at its weakest in the eyes of the world.
那个时期在世人的眼中，教会是最软弱最无力的。
It looked like the church would collapse.
这看起来教会整个就要崩溃了。
And then you have this one German monk.
这时候呢，你有就这么一位德国的这个修道士，这是个
someone with no power.
他没有任何的势力。
And God uses him to bring revival.
但是神却用他带来了复兴。
You look at the Wesleyan revival in England.
你看那个英国的这个就是卫斯理弟兄这个卫斯理这个弟兄所带来的这个复兴。
Two people with no influence, no power.
这两兄弟呢是没有什么地位，也没有能力，也没有权利。
And God uses them to bring revival.
但是神却用他们带来了复兴。
Last week, I read a book on the history of missions.
然后missionary or mission?
About missionaries.
哦，上个星期呢，我读到一本书是关于宣教士的故事的书。
At the beginning of the 20th century,
在20世纪起初的时候
there was a big conference.In Europe to plan for how to evangelize in the 20th century.
然后呢，就在欧洲有一个很大的一个，就像一个大会似的，就在计划说如何在21世纪宣教。
Every great leader, Christian leader came there.
那所有的这个出名的、有名的这个基督徒的领袖都去参加这个大会了。
It was a time of great optimism.
然后那个时候大家都很乐观。
They met in 1910.
Oh, you mean,他们是1910, 1910, right? 他们是在1910年聚会的。
And so last week, I read a history of that conference.
然后呢，上个星期呢，我就去看他们这个他们就对当时那个会议的记录，那个历史。
And I began to laugh as I read it.
当我读的时候呢，我就开始笑。
They had a great plan.
他们有一个很宏伟的计划。
Europe was going to become Christian.
那个欧洲会变成一个基督徒的一个大陆。
They were going to raise millions of dollars.
他们会筹款那个上百万的钱。
And then, after Europe became Christian, they would take the gospel and preach in China and Africa.
然后当欧洲都全部都是基督徒之后，他们再把福音带到中国和印度。
At this conference, they didn't even invite anyone from Africa.
在这个大会上，他们甚至没有邀请任何从非洲来的。
Here is why I began to laugh.
那为什么我开始笑呢？
You look at the history of the church in the 20th century.
你看那个二十世纪的历史。
And where did revival come?
你知道这个复兴从哪里开始的吗？
China? Africa?
中国、印度
，the places that they said they have no hope， Maybe later, after we reach Europe.
然后他们就是那些他们觉得这个地方是完全没指望的地方开始的。他们的计划本来是说像我们先来那个把福音传到欧洲，传遍欧洲。
They had it completely backwards.
他们是完全的调转过来了，跟神。
Why?
为什么？
Because they looked for politics and power and money.
因为他们所注重的，他们所寻求的是这个政治权力还有钱金钱。
But in God's kingdom,
但是在神的国里，
look at what happens.
你看到底发生了什么？
God takes the baby.
神呢就把这个孩子提到神宝座那里去了。
He protects the baby.
神呢就是保护了这个孩子。
The woman flees into the desert and is protected.
然后妇人就逃到旷野被保护。
There is war in heaven.
在天上就有了征战。
And here's what I want you to see.
我想大家所看的是。
Verses 7 through 9, Satan rebels in heaven and he's defeated and he's thrown to earth.
然后呢撒旦在天上就这样子背叛然后他被打败被扔到地上。
Verse 13 through 16, he attacks the mother.
然后在第13节到第16节他又开始攻击逼迫这个妇人。
You read through the Old Testament history of Israel.
你去读这个以色列的旧约的历史。
Enemy after enemy attack Israel.
你看这个以色列就是不断的有仇敌攻击他。
All of the great powers, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, they all attack Israel.
这些所有当时那个世界上的权很有权势的这个超级大国都攻击过他，像埃及呀、叙利亚呀、巴比伦呐、波斯都攻击他。
And yes, sometimes Israel loses because she has sinned and God judged her.
然后有的时候呢，这以色列的确是就是真的是被打败了，因为他有罪，所以神就审判他。
But God always preserves Israel.
但是神呢，总是保存以色列。
Now think about this for a moment.
你停下来想一下。
Because we read the Bible and Israel is the central part of the Old Testament, we tend to think that she must have been a great power.
然后呢，因为我们读圣经，旧约里边呢，主要就是在讲以色列，所以我们就觉得她就是这个世界上的中心，是一个很有一个超级大国，很有权力。
She is smaller than Florida.
但是以色列呢，它的这个领土呢，比佛罗里达还小。
And she is fighting against the greatest powers in the world.
但是她却是要跟世界上的这个最强大的权势呢，要在那儿打仗，征战。
She should have been erased.
她本来就应该完全被从这个地球上除灭了。
But God protects her.
但是神呢，却保护了她。
Why is Satan so determined to destroy Israel? Because he knows that is where the baby comes from.
这个撒旦为什么就是定义要摧毁以色列呢？因为他知道这个那个孩子，那个男孩子就要从以色列出来。
Satan is not able to stop Israel.
所以撒旦他是没有办法就是停止以色列的。
So then verse 17.
所以在17节。
The dragon becomes furious with the woman and goes to make war on the rest of her offspring.
龙向妇人发怒，就去与她其余的儿女征战。
Those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
这儿女就是那守神诫命为耶稣做见证的。
Now here is where I really need you to be in a classroom where I can ask.
我真的是在这个时候。需要你们在课堂上，然后这样我就可以问大家，那谁是这个呢？
Who is the rest of her offspring?
那谁是她其余的儿女呢？
Let me tell you what I think.
让我告诉你，我觉得是什么？
The mother is Israel.
这个妇人，这个母亲是以色列。
Satan tries to destroy her and cannot.
撒旦想要毁灭她，但是却不行，却不能。
That's 13 through 16.
那是第13到16节。
Then, she has the baby, that's Jesus.
然后呢，这个妇人就生了孩子，这个孩子就是耶稣。
In verse 17, the dragon, Satan, comes to attack the rest of her offspring.
在第17节，这个龙就去攻击他其余的儿女。
And from Ephesians, from Galatians,
从以弗所书，从加拉太书，
from Romans,
罗马书，
the rest of Israel's offspring is the church, the New Testament people of God.
这个其余的儿女就是教会，就是新约里神的教会。
It seems to me that in this chapter, John is giving a big picture of history.
好像就在这些篇章里边，就是约翰给了人类整个历史的图片。
Satan rebelled in heaven and was thrown out. He lost.
然后呢，撒旦在天上背叛，然后他就，但是他呢没有得胜，他输了，他就被扔到地上。
He attacked Israel and he lost.
然后呢，他又去攻击以色列，他也输了。
He is attacking the church now and he will lose, Revelation says.
然后呢，他现在就攻击神的教会，在第六章启示录也看得清楚，他也会输的。
The people who read this letter in the first century, John is saying, Satan was not able to defeat the baby. He was not able to defeat Israel. Now he is attacking you.
然后呢，在公元第一世纪读到约翰这封书信的教会里边呢，就听到约翰说，撒旦他攻击这个孩子，他输了，他又攻击他现在攻击神的教会，神的儿女，他也会输的。
We are the ones who keep God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus, verse 17.
我们就是那些守神诫命，又是为耶稣做见证的。
Now, all that sounds exciting.
这个听起来都很令人兴奋。
Now we are ready to wave a flag.
我们现在就应该举着大旗。
We're going to sing the battle hymn of the Republic and onward Christian soldiers.
我们就会唱耶稣基督向前进。
We will have a million Christian march on Washington.
我们就看耶稣基督精兵向前进这首歌，然后我们有上百万的基督徒就是好像进行到了华盛顿 DC.
But there's a problem.
但是这里有一个问题。
Yes, we win.
是的，我们会得胜。
But I need to show you how we win.
但是我要向你们显示说我们是怎么得胜的。
This chapter is going in a circle.
这一章呢好像是一个像一个圆圈似的。
It's not a straight line.
它不是一个直线。
And right in the middle of the chapter, he tells us how we win.
然后呢，就在这一章的中间，他告诉我们是如何得胜的。
Verse 10, the accuser of our brothers, that's the dragon, that's Satan, has been conquered.
他就是在第十节讲到，那位昼夜控告我们弟兄的，就是撒旦已经被摔下去了，已经被击败了。
That's wonderful.
太好了。
Verse 11, here's how we win.
11节就讲到说我们是如何战胜撒旦的。
They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb.
弟兄胜过他是因羔羊的血。
And the word of their testimony.
和自己所见证的道。
For they loved not their life even unto death.
他们虽至于死也不爱惜生命。
Let me tell you about that word testimony.
让我给你讲这个道 见证是什么意思？这个词的意思。
We don't do this often at Palm Beach, except on Wednesday nights.
我们不经常这样做，只有在星期三的时候这样做。
But sometimes in churches, someone will stand to give a testimony.
但有的时候呢，会有人站起来，就是做见证。
And they will quote this verse.
他们就会引用这节经文。
I am conquering Satan with my testimony.
他说我征服战胜了撒旦是通过我的见证。
So let me tell you the word that is translated testimony there.
让我给你讲一下就被翻译成见证的这个词。
The Greek word is martyria.
这个希腊文的意思就是 martyria, 这个前面这个词根就是
Martyr.
前面这个词，这个见证，前面那一段。
The testimony here. The testimony is their death.
他们的见证就是他们的死。
Their testimony is because they die for the faith.
他们的见证就是他们为了自己所信的死了。
How is Satan defeated?
那撒旦是如何被击败的呢？被打败的呢？
The blood of the Lamb.
是羔羊的血。
The death of Christ.
就是那羔羊的血就是基督的死。
And the death, the testimony unto death of his followers.
再有就是他的门徒就是致死的这种见证。
Now, maybe by this point, you are saying, you told us Revelation would be an encouraging book.
你可能到这时候说，哎，你说你以前不是讲这个启示录是一本会鼓励我们的心，鼓励我们的书吗？
And now you are telling us that instead of winning elections, we are called to die.
现在你告诉我们不是说赢了选举，而是你说他呼召我们去死。
And you say, how is this encouraging?
你会问说这怎么会鼓舞人心呢？
Let me go back to the verse that I started with in chapter 14.
让我来回到我刚开始读的第14章里边的一节。
Here is a call for the endurance, for the perseverance of the saints.
14章第12节说圣徒的忍耐就在此。
Let me go back to chapter 13, verse 10.
那我们再回到13章第10节。
If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes.
掳掠人的必被掳掠。
If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain.
就是他说，定为刀杀的必被杀。
Here is a call for endurance and faithfulness of the saints.
圣徒的忍耐和信心就是在此。
John says to these believers in the first century,
约翰对第一世纪的信主的人说,
and he says to Christians in the 21st century,
他也对二十一世纪的基督徒说,
we may suffer in the battle against evil.
在我们对这个邪恶的这个征战之中，我们会受，可能会受苦。
We may even die.
我们或许会死。
But death is not defeat.
但是 death is not defeated?
Death is not a defeat. To die is not to be defeated.
Okay, 就是说去死并不是说你就失败了。
Please remember this.
请记住这一点。
Death is not the worst thing that can happen to us.
就是死亡并不是能发生在我们身上最糟糕的事。
And so Revelation says,
所以启示录说
It is God who fights the battle.
是神在征战。
Our job is to be faithful and to persevere in our witness.
我们的所要做的就是要忠心，要在我们的见证中要忍耐。
The worst thing is not to die.
这个最糟糕的事情，最可怕的事情还不是死。
The worst thing is to be unfaithful.
这个最糟糕的，更糟糕的事情就是不忠心。
To me, this is a powerful, powerful truth from John.
对我来讲，这是从约翰所来的非常有力的信息。
There are things that are much worse than death.
那有很多事，有事情，真的是有很多事情比死亡更糟糕，更可怕。
And that is to be unfaithful.
那就是对神不忠心。
And so John writes to these Christians.
所以约翰对这些基督徒写信说。
And he says, don't be afraid of dying for the faith.
说不要害怕为了你的信而丧生而死。
Don't be afraid of suffering.
不要害怕受苦。
Be afraid of being unfaithful.
要恐惧你对神不忠心。
Because he says we will win through our suffering.
因为他说我们是通过我们的得胜，我们通过我们的受苦而得胜。
We don't believe that.
我们并不真正相信这些。
We say we do.
我们嘴巴上说我们信。
But when it comes to it, we think the worst thing that can happen is to lose.
当真的是到了那个时候的时候，我们知道最糟糕的事情就是失败。
But John teaches and church history shows us it is in weakness that God wins victory in his people.
然后呢，约翰教导我们，教会历史也显示，就是在通过这个软弱，神赢了这个征战。
I'm going to finish this up the next time.
我下一次讲完。
Because there are two things that he gives us as keys to our victory.
因为他给我们讲了两点让我们得胜的关键。
The first one is perseverance.
第一点是忍耐。
That's what we just read.
那就是我们刚刚读的。
This calls for patient endurance of the saints.
这就是说神的忍，圣徒的忍耐和对神诫命的忠心。
Now there is a second call in these chapters.
然后在这些章节里边有第二个呼召。
I will finish it up next time.
我下一次讲完。
We're then going to jump and look at the end of the book of Revelation.
之后我们就直接跳到启示录的结尾。
At Christ's ultimate victory.
就看到基督最终的得胜。
But for these chapters, let me wrap up today by saying, they show us that our victory comes through perseverance, not through power.
然后呢，这些经节就告诉我们，我们的得胜是通过忍耐，而不是通过这个权力势力。
It is God's job to fight the battle.
是神在征战。
It is my job to be faithful in following him.
我所要做的就是要忠心跟随他。
If he leads me to power, that's fine. That's his call.
如果神的呼召是要让我就是有这种权力的位置，那是神的呼召。
If he leads me to suffering, that must also be fine.
如果神的呼召是要让我受苦，那也应该没死没有问题。
That is also his calling.
那也是神的呼召。
Our job is to be faithful.
我们的工作，我们的任务就是要忠心。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
God, we live in a world that is very troubled.
亲爱的主，我们所生活的世界好像是充满了各种的问题。
All around us, there is conflict.
我们周围充满了冲突。
And it's easy for us to become discouraged.
就是很容易灰心。
We can try to fight using the world's powers.
我们有时候就想用说这个世界上的这些势力来征战。
That's not your call for us.
但是那不是你对我们的呼召。
Other times we can just become discouraged and walk away, and that's not your call for us.
有的时候我们就很灰心就走开了，那个也不是你对我们的呼召。
You call us to be faithful.
你呼召我们要忠心。
Help us this week
你就是求你
to walk in faithfulness to your call.
就是帮助我们，让我们忠心地行在你所对我们的呼召之中。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen.
Amen.
So part of the purpose for Revelation is to show us a much bigger picture than our limited perspective.
Okay.
If we look only at our world, then the worst thing that can happen is to die. But Revelation is saying, if you can see the big picture, you will see something much different. Let me explain it like this. So the people who read his letter in the first century.
Can I finish this in translation? Okay, give me a moment. 我就是刚才问的问题，就是说有的时候我们虽然嘴巴上说，但是我们心里边是觉得如果对神不忠心，我们不会有一个立即的好像看到后果。但是呢，我们对有的时候包括我自己啊，我们有的时候就是不管任何呼吸任何代价要避免这个痛苦跟死亡。那我们麦牧师怎么增强我们的信心？麦牧师就说启示录帮助我们看整个的图片，如果我们总看我们的世界的话，那当然是避免死亡是最大的。
The people who read John's letter in the first century,
第一世纪读约翰这个书信的基督徒，
They are all dead now.
他们现在都死了。
They have all been dead for 2,000 years.
他都死了2000年了。
So think about it, 1900 years. So think about it.
所以想一下。
If they were faithful to Christ,
如果他们对基督忠心，
they suffered for 20, 30, maybe 40 years.
他们可能受20年、30年或者40年的苦。
And they have been in heaven.For 1900 years.
但是他们现在在天堂已经待了1900年。
John says, that's much better.
约翰说
than to be unfaithful and to lose that joy.
然后约翰说这个受苦远远胜过就是说你在当时你不受苦却失去了这个喜乐。
Jesus said the very same thing to his disciples.
耶稣对他的门徒也讲了同样的话。
He said, they're going to persecute you.
说他们会逼迫你们。
Don't be afraid of the one who can destroy your body.
不要惧怕那些可以杀害身体的。
Be afraid of the one who can destroy your body and soul in hell.
要惧怕那能把灵魂和身体都毁灭在地狱里的。
And who is that?
那位是谁呢？
God.
那就是神。
God is the only one, he says, who can say you have been unfaithful to me and I will cast you away.
神是那位唯一的可以说你对我不忠心，我要把你驱逐出去。
The reason we think death is the worst thing that can happen is we have too small a perspective.
我们之所以觉得这个死是能发生的最糟糕的事情，是因为我们的那个眼光角度都太小了。
This week I read in Genesis.
这个星期呢，我在读启创世纪。
And I wrote down these numbers.
我就写下来这些数字。
Adam lived 930 years.
亚当活了930岁。
Seth lived 912 years.
赛特活了912年。
Kenan lived 910 years.
该男活了910岁。
Jared lived 962 years.
亚烈活了962岁。
Methuselah lived 969 years.
马土撒拉活了969岁。
Enoch only lived 365 years.
那以诺只活了365年。
And God took him away.
然后神就把他带走了。
And I read that and I thought.
然后我读到这个我就想。
From the perspective of people on earth,
从地上的人的眼光来看,
they said, oh, how sad.
他们说,哎呀,多悲哀呀。
Everyone else got to live here 900 years or more.
这,你看这个单子上的好多人都活到900多岁,大,所有人都活到900多岁。
Enoch had to go away 600 years early.
但是以诺呢却要比别人早走600多年。
How sad!
那有多么令人伤心呢?
But the Bible says, how happy!
但是圣经上却说这是多么多开心呢?
He had 600 more years to spend in heaven.
他比别人在天堂有多600多年的时间。
We missed the big picture of eternity.
我们错过了这个永恒的这个大的图片。
And that's why it seems to me it is hard for us to understand when he says there is worse than death.
这可能就是我们为什么难以理解比死亡更糟糕的事情。